Hello.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, and we have already, as I'm just starting the show, we have Mark from the Remarkable Pal podcast. Right, Mark?
Howdy. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
I hear that tip-tap of your Mac keypad.
Because I'm trying to
zone out to it.
I'm trying to tell Mike Hip how to do it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How to do it?
I think if he hasn't figured it by now, honey.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean. Anyway, we have... So let me just...
This is the difference between a Mac keyboard and a PC keyboard. Listen to mine.
It sounds terrible.
Screw you.
I should just... I was just trying to start the show. Today is Monday... August 11th. Oh my!
August.
I'm sorry. September 11th. Oh my God! It's the 9/11 anniversary.
It's the 5th year anniversary.
And we have the boyfriend and remarkably Mark from the Remarkable Palette podcast and the remarkably Mark. my kid wants to know what his Skype name is. I don't know. Mike Hip.
Hey, boyfriend.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. I can't wait to talk about history stuff.
Okay, well, I hope I can...
No, not too close.
Here's Miss Joan Crawford here giving me directives with a coat hanger in her hand.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. We have a
celebrity. How many times do I have to tell you?
we have a celebrity in the house. Big Fatty, are you with us? Big Fatty?
I am.
Oh my God! Am. We have Big Fatty with us.
It's a three-way. It's actually, a four-way.
Okay,
it's actually a four-way.
Now, boys and girls, let me tell you that we need to speak one at a time, or it gets very Skypey.
Yes, Joan.
Wait, we can't do like Bill O'Reilly and just have all the talking heads screaming all over each other.
No. Now
You're still doing that hypermodulating thing when you lean too close in, right?
He does still. Big Fatty, how are you?
I haven't moved. I'm just staying where I am, and I'm speaking into the microphone.
I'm turning down his microphone.
Of course you are, Bill O'Reilly.
Okay, let's hear from Big Fatty. How are you, Big Fatty?
I'm tired as hell.
And you're not going to take it anymore.
I'm not going to take it anymore. Right. This 10 o'clock shit is no good for us old people.
Oh, come on. It's a Friday night.
I know. I should be drinking gin.
What are you drinking, Big Fatty?
I'm not drinking anything because I had to stay tuned in for this thing.
All right. Since the two of you are here, we should probably get the Big Brother stuff out of the way. What do you think?
Sure, why not?
But first, Mark, I can hear you echoing. Do you have that thing turned off?
It's not even on. I didn't even have it registered.
Okay. All right. Well, so Big Fatty, what do you think of Big Brother?
Hate it.
Hate it.
Those two can just sit in there and be miserable together until Tuesday.
So you don't care who wins then?
Fuck. I vote against Mike Boogie.
I vote against Mike Boogie too, but I don't like Erica either.
Wait,
but I dislike her less than I dislike him.
Yeah.
Are they the only two left?
Yeah, basically,
yes.
She basically rode him. Literally, rode him to the phone.
But he rode Will.
That's true.
Well, doesn't that make for a interesting three-way, though? Yeah.
Hello, who is this?
I'm here. Mike Hip is here. Hi, guys.
Yay, Mike Hip's here.
Yay.
Hey,
for my Skype name.
Oh, you realize that you're a dot, huh? You're a Mike Dot Hip.
Yes, instead of Mike Hip, I'm Mike Dot Hip.
We also have somebody else here. Who is the other person there? Leifa Lawson?
A lurker.
A lurker.
Goal.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, we were just talking about Big Brother and what we thought of having.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do for 4 days, from Thursday night until Tuesday?
Yeah, really. Fuck. Blowjobs.
Hey, are they having? Are they having a Sunday show?
No
Sunday show.
Mm.
No.
No. What would they show?
Well, right.
There's nothing happening.
You know, competition or something. Maybe they do like a retrospective. You know how on Survivor, the last night, they have that cheesy thing where they have to walk through and remember all the stupid people that they killed on the way?
Oh, yeah.
That's
the
true.
The finding thing. QCAT. Right. Hey, Michael. Michael just showed
hey.
Up.
Hey. Hey, everybody.
Michael from QCAST.
Yay. I figured out how to do it.
Yay. Yeah. Michael was my guest on Archer Radio today.
Yeah, it was good.
He heard.
Yeah.
Yes, we were quite chatty, weren't we?
We were.
But and I didn't sound stupid.
No, of course not. And you didn't tell me how. You didn't tell me who the bottom and the top are.
Oh, I thought we were going to wait a couple of weeks for that.
Yeah,
said,
I know.
He said you had to get to know him better, and we're going to get to know him much better tonight.
Whoa. Now, we have the boyfriend sitting here, and he's looking a little left out, so we have to include the boyfriend.
Hi, the boyfriend.
Hello.
Who's got a question for the boyfriend that's not history related?
How are you doing, Mr. Boyfriend?
I'm doing fine.
How's the first week back of school?
It's fine. You know, the first week stresses are out of the way. We had parent night last night, and that's out of the way. And you know, I have a record number of students this year. I think my count is 145. Which is a career high for me. But you know, it went well, and we'll see how the rest of the year goes. I had one student.
What do European history?
Yeah, my area of expertise is modern European history, which is 1500 to. It's supposed to be 1995, but really, I guess the Cold War is really, you know, where I kind of put my limit. And then I got stuck teaching a modern world history class, a county course that I haven't taught in many years, and which ends up, you know, I have a class of miscreants that makes the Welcome Back Cotter crowd look like the think tank. But I got cursed out by the third day of school. I got cursed out by a student who told me he wasn't going to answer my fucking questions. And so then I asked, well, do you talk to all of your teachers that way? And he said, fuck yeah. He has since been booted out of my class. So that, you know, that was the first, that was the third day of school. But things have gone a little better since I've gotten rid of that one. So,
and we've started our bottle of Merlot, so he's feeling a little better.
Yeah, it's a very light-bodied Merlot we're having, and maybe more of a. I would say this is a pizza Merlot, wouldn't you? Pizza
yes,
wine,
most definitely. Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Well, I'm having a little nip of limoncello.
Of what?
I'm having a little nip of my limoncello that's made by the Franciscan Friars of Assisi.
Oh.
BC?
Of course it is.
Of Assisi from Italy.
And let's see. Big Fatty isn't drinking anything. Mike Hip, what are you drinking?
Well, no, I actually just finished some ham juice.
Oh, my God. That's gross.
Is it fresh squeezed?
Oh, it was delicious.
Fresh out of the ham. That's how I like it.
I am having my signature Sutter Home white Merlot tonight.
White Merlot.
Oh my God.
Oh my.
That sounds delicious.
No, yes, you can laugh at me, but that's how far up I compare to you guys. You know, I don't have a sophisticated palate.
I'll face it, white
sounds so bad all of a sudden.
White Merlot is really just a rosé of a different color. So
I was going to say, I can't say that I've even had a white Merlot.
No, you've had. If you've had a rosé made from Merlot before the grapes turn red, you it's a rosé.
The only difference between white cases is that skins in. To
yeah, it's the time it's the grapes spin on the skins. So.
Okay, Mike from QCAST, what are you drinking?
No, absolutely nothing.
Oh, that's so sad.
Let's give him a glass of our Merlot.
I'm uploading a glass of Merlot to you.
Oh, but I don't drink.
Oh my God, that's right. I remember that on your show. because people ask you, are you an alcoholic?
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Well, let's upload a Shirley Temple,
a virgin Shirley Temple.
Virgin. Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Well, upload a virgin.
Isn't Shirley Temple a virgin drink to begin with?
I don't know.
Oh, it is a virgin drink.
Okay. Well.
But we can certainly send him a virgin.
Hey, it's been a while since I've had one of those.
Yeah.
I've never had a virgin.
Yes, you have. You had me.
I've never had a virgin.
No. You had me. I was the virgin. Remember?
That's right. I popped your cherry.
Oh, the show.
Yeah.
So have we gone over?
Let him fool you into thinking that he's innocent, because I know he's appeared naked on stage.
Really? I didn't get that story.
You didn't ask that question.
But he was going to play Love, Valor, Compassion, and thereby, by definition, he had to be naked on stage.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
Oh. Then let's
not as naked as Mark had to be doing the same show.
Yeah, I had the role where I had to be naked for a whole act.
Oh.
Yum, yum.
Are there pictures?
Yeah.
Oh, you should send. Really? Please send.
Please, I will put them as the art for this podcast.
I have never appeared naked before any camera in my life.
Yes, he has.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think everyone who's listening has seen you naked, honey.
I think
Have you been pimping me out?
Yeah,
pimping my images.
It makes me some money, honey.
Wait a minute, I haven't seen him naked.
Go to my website.
Go to the website.
Oh, really?
Go to my blog, not my podcast. Go to my blog.
Oh,
it's archerr.com.
ArcherRr.com.
Oh, okay. I've never been to that site.
There's lots of naked pictures there.
Yeah, yes. Archer uses my images for his own devious purposes.
Well, I'm a photographer. I'm an artist.
Isn't that what boyfriends are for?
Yeah, I guess it used to be whores for their men.
All right, let's get back to a topic here. Mike Hip, you were about to say something.
We talked about who's drinking what. But now I want to say who's smelling what. I'm smelling upbeat soy lemongrass right now.
Oh, lemongrass.
Thanks for the plug.
Yeah. Oh, I am.
Actually, I have a
Mike Hip.
I was going to say, I have a Mike Hip Candles by Phoebes burning in my bedroom at this very minute.
Well, I was going to say, I need another Mike Hip candle. Because do you have a fall scent? Because my oak moss is gone.
Actually, I am coming up. All I have to do is update the webpage, and I have 10 new scents for the fall coming out.
Oh,
cool. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I like fall.
And hopefully very, very soon, everyone will be able to get a Gilded Fork collection of Mike Hip soy candles.
Yeah. What is this about?
It's going to be like a box set.
We're going to be creating a special Gilded Fork of soy candles by Phoebes.
You're very Skype-y, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're making a Gilded Fork collection of soy candles by Phoebes that we're going to be selling on the boutique.
Will there be scents of food?
They will be, yes.
Pumpkin. Mm. Pumpkin.
I could
see
pumpkin.
There's going to be a lot of really good scents.
Do you like the oak moss, Mr. Boyfriend?
Pardon?
Do you like the oak moss?
I love the oak moss.
It's a really nice scent, isn't it?
It really is. It's nice and earthy. I really like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He lights it every time we go to bed.
Now Archer has liked Archer has a request, but he's afraid to ask.
Oh God, here we go.
Speaking of food scents, he would like a Twinkie scented candle.
Not
well, candle has Yankee Candle
have
has
you got
all
a ham
scented candle.
Yeah,
well, he would like a ham scented candle. If it's not a ham scented candle, that's been glazed with some kind of fruit covering, or, you know, fruit glaze or something.
Probably come up with something.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of a ham scented candle, Big Fatty, what kind of candle would you be burning right now?
If you were a candle, which kind would you be?
Now, well, at the moment, I probably just need to strike a match, and that's all I need to
do. Oh, honey, no. Don't do that. We could all be in trouble.
Exactly.
What was that explosion I saw on the East Coast? It was Big Fatty lighting his farts.
Well, George Bush did the same thing in college, didn't he? Wasn't that one of his college pranks?
I think everyone did that in college.
I bet he still does it. I bet Laura strikes the match and George farts.
Oh!
Can you tell the boyfriend's not happy with George Bush this week?
I haven't been happy with George Bush since
1989.
I think since he was born.
There's a podcast that thinks he's sexy. I can't remember who it is.
Are you serious?
I think that's Cox, is it?
Oh, no, Captain Cox? Captain Cox.
There's a podcast
on right now called Goober Zone. Maybe that's it.
No, it's one. It's, I haven't linked. It's like maybe Razzle Dazzle or maybe the. What are the Jewel Kids?
You are pounding away on that keyboard.
Well, because we have a new person in the chat room, and I wanted to give him an introduction.
Yeah.
The room is full.
Okay. His name is Mike Buring. Can you like to introduce yourself, Mike?
Yes, this is Mike Buring in Seattle, Washington.
In where?
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, wow. Cool. Seattle, Washington. Are you familiar with my podcast, Archer Radio?
I'm afraid I just joined Skype, and this is kind of new for me. So I'm guessing this is sort of like a radio show, huh?
It is. It's kind of like a radio show. Now, one thing you should probably know is that all the members here are big, flaming gay men. So,
perfect.
Some of us are bi.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bi.
Remarkable palette is omnisexual.
Exactly.
Wait, Remarkable Mark, are you bisexual?
No.
Yes, actually, I'm omnisexual.
I'm just kidding. No,
does that include, like, dogs and cats, too?
Okay.
Are you a lesbian?
Stop.
Okay, let's all stop talking. Let's all stop talking and let Mike Buring give us a speak. Go ahead.
I don't know what the topic is. I did have a question for Archer.
Okay,
are you the same Iranian man who has a blog?
I'm not. Yes, exactly. I'm not Iranian, but I do have a blog.
But he's actually part Asian.
No, I'm not.
He is part Asian. He has Asian hair.
Stop. But.
And he's a vegetarian.
Oh yes, he's a vegetarian. Right. He loves his vegetables.
Now come on, be nice. Michael, why do you ask? Do you read my blog?
I'm not sure. Like a blog by an Iranian.
Well, I'm not Iranian, but my blog is archer.com. Archer, two R's at the end.
Oh, no, then I don't read it. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Where are all of you from?
Well, we have some from New York City, from Big Fatty. Where are you from?
Charleston,
South Carolina. We have Mike Hip from Atlanta, Georgia, right outside Atlanta, Georgia. The boyfriend and I are right here in the Washington, D.C. area.
But I'm from New Orleans originally.
Yeah, but he wants to know where we are now. And we have Michael from the QCast, Connecticut, who is in Connecticut. And I see that we have, I believe Travis just joined us, right, Travis?
That is correct, sir.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, Travis.
And Travis, where are you from, Travis?
Originally, I'm from Kansas.
Where are you from now?
I'm in Houston, Texas right now.
Ah, very good. So
we need a mountain time. We need somebody from Phoenix.
Kansas as well?
I'm sorry?
Well, I'm originally from New Mexico.
I said, was there a flood in Kansas as well?
Not flood.
A flood.
No, it was a tornado, actually.
Tornadoes, yes.
Tornado.
The house began to twitch.
That was a bad joke. I apologize to the man from New Orleans.
That's quite all right.
I understand.
However, his parents did have damage to their house, so you need to be sensitive about the whole Hurricane Katrina thing.
But actually,
Big Fatty had extensive damage from Ernesto.
Did you see the damage that Big Fatty suffered?
No.
From Ernesto?
No.
Oh my gosh, he had palm trees down, he had lawn furniture blown all over the place. It was devastating.
Oh, that's awful.
We can only hope that the insurance companies will pay.
They probably won't, but...
Now here's the strange thing, guys. This is the honest to God truth. You saw those pictures
I
sent.
Look at the people that have joined.
Oh, my. But
holy shit, we have 10 people here. Go ahead, Big Fatty, tell us.
State Farm Insurance ran full-page ads in the newspaper here. Call us to help you with your damage and devastation. And I'm like, you spent more on the damn newspaper ad than you are going to have to pay on claims.
Right, so. Because they'll claim.
No, that comes out of your claim.
I was going to say you're right. actually paying for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I know, but
here's your $10,000 less $1,000 for advertising.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Well, my.
I heard stories about some people getting $150. I think people in New Orleans getting $150 for their homeowner.
Oh yeah, well, talk to my parents. No. But it's been a nightmare.
It has.
I mean, the house was destroyed, and they got $137.
And then you hear about the people who charge cases of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Oh, someone charged a case of Dom Pérignon.
Okay, I'm going to change the topic here since I'm the moderator. Okay, shut up.
Oh, listen, you're so bossy.
I'm the moderator. Shut up. Listen to me, people.
Well, you're not getting any booty this evening. I can tell you
Shut
that much.
Up.
You'd better change your ways,
honey. Please listen, boys and girls.
Yes,
this podcast will be airing on 9/11, the fifth year anniversary of 9/11. So I think it's fitting that we discuss something about 9/11. Who has got something to talk about 9/11?
I do.
Stop it. One at a time.
You want it to be Bill O'Reilly where we're giving it to you.
Okay. As the New Yorker... No, just kidding. actually, there's... I live up in Inwood, and there is a memorial that's happening all weekend. They took the field over in the park up here, and they planted 3,000 flags in the field, and they have them in two sections, one representing each of the towers, and they have names of the victims on the flags, and they're doing this huge memorial all, and it goes from 8 a.m. till 11 p.m. each night for the next four nights.
Wow.
So it's pretty emotional, pretty impressive. I went over there earlier this evening, and the moon was just rising over the horizon, and it had that sort of orange reddish glow. And it was really quite chilling to see all these flags in the field with the lights on them and the moon rising over the horizon.
We were actually on the balcony when the moon was rising. It was just exactly the same as that orangey glow.
Hmm. Yeah. I have something to say about 9/11.
Okay.
I work in a corporate environment, so it's a lot of, fairly conservative types. And I got into an argument today about how the conspiracy theory floating around mm-hmm. about 9/11, mm-hmm. the Pentagon, and if it was a guided missile rather than a 757, if it was a controlled explosion to bring down the towers instead of, airplane fuel, heating, metal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've been amazed lately at the number of people that are wanting to talk about that. You know, a couple of years... for the first couple of years, everybody was behind the government, and now everybody's ready to start entertaining ideas that something might have happened.
Well, can I say something now?
Go ahead.
Are you going to turn my microphone down?
No, speak up.
Well, okay. Well, will you turn my microphone down? Anyway, I think I can kind of contribute to that because, I teach history, and when I teach history to my students, I say it's not so much that history repeats itself, it's human behavior repeats itself. So 5 years ago, we were willing to believe anything, and we have been drinking a lot of Kool-Aid the past 5 years, right? We believed everything that came out of the Bush administration, and I think the conspiracy theories are becoming more popular, even with the conservatives, is because we realize we've been deluded, and so how were we deluded? Well, it was September 11th, and all that came out of it. I don't necessarily buy into the conspiracy theories. My hunch, being acquainted with Project for a New American Century, Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, their agenda, Wolfowitz, the Rumsfeld, the feeling that we needed a Pearl Harbor to implement their agenda. I mean, the war in Iraq was planned in 1992, not two or three years ago. I mean, this group had that war in the can when George Bush took the oath of office. So I think there's kind of an awakening amongst the American people that we have been deluded and sold a very horrible bill of goods here. And so I think the conspiracy theories are starting to become popular because we want a reason to believe that we've been deluded. We don't want to think, and well, we were...
And when we know we haven't been told the truth, then we're apt to believe any of the stuff.
Absolutely, yes.
Regardless of whether they're true or not.
Right, but the truth has been staring us in the face for a long time. But we have allowed ourselves to be deluded. And so you go into mass psychology, Jung, you read the works of Jung. I mean, why did Germans follow Hitler, Italians follow Mussolini? There's a lot of work with mass psychology and how that works. And we're as guilty as we're human beings. We have a herd mentality, and we look for the alpha male to lead us. Unfortunately, George Bush was the alpha male. So my comment about 9/11, and this has been a feeling I've had for 5 years. George Bush has never been put to task for getting that memo in August of 2001. And here's where the conspiracy theories are becoming popular. But he had a memo August 2001 on one of his very, very long vacations. Bin Laden ready to strike America and did nothing about it. Much like August 2005, Category 5 hurricane poised to strike New Orleans. Well, he decided to go off fundraising and picking guitar with country western singers. So he's never been held accountable for that failure to act in August of 2001. So that's my one part there. Another part about September 11th, I'm kind of a little concerned that with commemorating 5 years later, I like the more intimate commemorations that Mark described. I'm a little more bothered by these national commemorations in which politicians make it an issue, and so you're taking a stand on top of 3,000 graves. I have a problem with that.
It's an opportunity for jingoism.
Absolutely. And I had the same feeling with Katrina. You know, I'm from New Orleans. My parents fortunately left. They didn't go far enough, but they were far enough to escape, you know, the wind and water. They weren't there firsthand. They were fairly safe. You know, they had a lot of work to do in their home. It was, you know, they had some substantial damage, but nothing on par of what you're seeing on TV. But, you know, the 1 year anniversary with all the political things going on, and, you know, Archer's telling me to move on. But you know, I commemorate it because colleagues ask, well, how are you dealing with the 1 year anniversary and all that? It was so hyped and so sensationalized. My way of commemorating, I sent my parents a basket of smoked summer sausage and cheese with a note to enjoy with a nice bottle of red wine. And because my parents were just saturated. They've lived it. They lived through it for a year. They had had enough. They turned the TV off, and they just wanted some feeling of normalcy. And not the political.
Now, you didn't send any boudin?
Pardon? Boudin?
You didn't send them any boudin?
Oh no! Well, they can't. They didn't get boudin last year because no one was making boudin because you know, in October when they make all the boudin, the andouille and the tasso.
Okay.
That was all. Yeah. Archer's telling us to move on. But
I just want to jump in here and say that we have another celebrity in that room.
Who?
Rambo Redhead.
Actually,
hey, Tom.
Actually, he left. Where'd he go?
You scared him away.
It was funny. He left, and he didn't say hi. I wrote him a Skype note, and I said, what's the matter with you? He said, no one said hi. And I said, oh, please, get your ass back in here.
Tell him to come back in here, seriously, because I just introduced him, and he was gone. But now, seriously, honey, that was a very good message, but let's give some people to respond. Like, Travis, we haven't heard from you. Travis, what do you think about 9/11 right now?
What do I think about it? Well, I was actually thinking about the other day but I mean, I was working downtown Chicago, very close to the Sears Tower at that time, and we were scared out of our minds. The entire downtown essentially emptied out by 4 o'clock, which is very unusual. And I lived there, and at the time I was working in a hospital, and we were going through the ICU patients, trying to figure out, you know, who actually needed to be on a vent and that kind of thing, to see if we needed to send vents and everything to New York, so we're taking it very seriously at the time.
Wow. Hey, Big Fatty. Big Fatty, what do you think?
I'm here.
Tell us your thoughts.
Well, I got kind of lost in the boyfriend's explanation. I thought there for a second he had sent the smoked sausage and the bottle of wine to his
folks in commemoration of 9/11.
No, Katrina.
Right. I figured that out. But I'm like, isn't that odd? But anyway. No.
So for 9/11, he sent him a Bronx cheer.
Right. No, I think it's... I think it's something that you don't need to think about on the 5th anniversary or the 1st anniversary. It's something you keep in your mind every day.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because the news, ABC News had a poll that said 78% of Americans, and I know Mark does not like polls, but anyway, 78% of Americans think about
9/11. I got a big old poll for you right now.
I bet you do.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Anyway, they said 78% of Americans think about 9/11 every day.
I actually saw that.
78%.
Yes.
And I also saw a similar poll that talked about people's feelings of rage, people's feelings of anger, and their
Ramble's here. Say hi, Ramble.
Ramble Redhead, everyone stop. Ramble there Redhead, please say hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Tom, we're sorry.
Yeah, I'm having laptop problems, so I apologize.
No problem. Plug in your microphone.
I did. Can you hear me?
Yep.
It sounds like you're talking in a tin can.
Well, that's his new microphone. Maybe he is
talking
to
a tin can.
A tin can. And
hold on. Let me switch.
Okay.
Lord, this is as ruined as our podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. This is how Skype casts go, Big Fatty.
Hey, what better compliment could I give you?
That's true.
Hey, I'm enjoying our...
Oh, I need to say something.
Yes, Mike Kip, I was just going to come to you next.
I am hurt that I was not invited to be in the Big Brother Mark Big Fatty Archer email list.
Oh, and Sarah, too, from How Much Do We Love?
Oh, Make It Worse.
Oh, Make It Worse, Archer.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Mother Teresa was there, and she was dead, but what the hell? Mike, now.
Sorry about that.
I had no idea. Skype
oh, my God. Mike, you just
made
well.
Me choke on my water.
Archer?
Yes.
This is Mike from Seattle. Is it okay if I interject?
Absolutely, go ahead.
I just wanted to know if anyone knows about this ABC movie that's on in...
The ABC movie, Lead Up to 9/11?
I don't remember the title, but does everyone know that it was completely written and by right-wing political cause?
Oh, absolutely.
Rush Limbaugh himself said, I'm surprised this is not there.
You're a little Skypey.
Oh, dear.
No, I've been following your... Yeah, no, absolutely. If you go to Daily Kos, I read Daily Kos every day.
Yeah, read Daily Kos.
Yeah, he's been, sounding the alarm about that and the connection with the Disney, ABC, the GOP, right wing. In fact, I think right wing bloggers got to preview that documentary and gave their stamp of approval. Then the Clinton. Folks got up in arms about it, so
they're basically blaming the Clinton administration.
I'm not the moderator, but I'd like to pose a question for everyone.
Okay, yeah. Somebody doesn't have their headphones plugged in.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Mike again from Seattle. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What percentage of Americans do you think will see it for the propaganda that it is before the November election?
The Republican base will definitely be tuned in. But
they won't see it for the propaganda that it is.
Oh, they already believe it.
But I think we have to reserve judgment and wait till we see it to see just how much propaganda it is, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't plan to watch it, but...
But here's the thing. We can only hope that it is so blatantly propagandist that people will see it. Because if you're a good propagandist, you make it in very subtle ways, and then people don't get it, you see. So we have to hope that they were very maladroit about it and that they made it very blatant that it was propaganda so that people will see that.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask this.
I was going to say, I can hear Big Fatty breathing.
Hello! Do you not think people are not just don't want to relive all that again and just won't watch?
I won't see the movie. I didn't watch the movie that came out.
Yeah, Big Fatty, I don't think people. I don't think that it's going to be a big ratings getter at all. I don't think people want to relive it. But at the same time, there's a lot of stupid people in the United States who will watch it and think it's real.
Is it true that it's 5 hours?
Yes.
It's
over two nights.
Parts. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Sunday and Monday, I believe.
But here's can I give my take
on
it?
Yeah, let the boyfriend speak.
I tend to be long-winded, but you'll tell me when you've had enough of me. All right. Well, anyway, I'm just kind of, I tend to draw parallels to, the time we're going through now with this kind of, the style of governing and all of this is very secretive, it's autocratic, whatever. I think the American people, if you look at mass psychology, I think those who are going to be tuning in and want to see it because they want to believe that it's someone else's fault, I think it's the base. So the James Dobson crowd, the loyal Republicans who just can't see beyond George Bush. They're loyal to Republicans like fundamentalist Christians are loyal to their church. So I think they're going to be tuning in. But I think looking at information I'm reading about the upcoming election in November, how other Americans are feeling. If you think about conservative Republicans, there might be, 30% of the population? And that's about where George Bush's popularity is, give or take, 5 or whatever percent. So I think for the most part, folks are concerned about, we remember 9/11, it's a tragedy, but there are things right now in 2006 that are even they're concerned now that I think Americans are dealing with debt, rising interest rates, energy prices, the neighborhood children have gone off to Iraq and they're not coming home. I think there are other issues here 5 years later that, September 11th is certainly something we remember, and yet in an election year, there are other things to consider. But
I agree with
that. Will they be turning in? Maybe for the Bush loyalists, they've made up their mind, so this disconcern confirms what they feel. Those of us on the left, we already know how we feel about it. We're not tuning in. Those in the middle, they're not drinking the Kool-Aid anymore. So that's just my hunch.
May I have a response to that?
Well, let me first welcome back Ramble Redhead.
But someone has a response.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Ramble.
Hey. How is everybody?
Okay. Welcome, Tom.
We
were just about to hear from Mark, who was going to give a response to the boyfriend's talk.
Okay, Mark, go ahead.
My fear is that people aren't really thinking about all of those things that you mentioned. That really, unfortunately, the Bush administration propaganda machine has got them thinking about these unknown fears of Al Qaeda and the terrorists and the Nazi appeasers and all this bullshit that they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why, what I want to talk about this is an opportunity for us. This 9/11 is a perfect opportunity for us as the country to take back our own thoughts and our own sense. Because we have been gripped by fear, we have been swallowed up by fear, we need to say no. We need to look at 9/11 as a lesson, as something that happened to us that we can learn from, but that we can't approach it from a point of fear, because that is exactly how they've benefited over the last 5 years, how this administration has gotten everything it wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Because we have let them do it out of fear.
Okay, Mike, what do you want to say?
We, the American people, have let it happen. Yeah.
Oh, that's in this room. Know it for the bullshit that it is.
Well,
exactly.
But see, I think the thing is that we all have a responsibility to not be gripped by the fear, and every single one of us has, unfortunately, fallen into that at different times. We've allowed that, and I think the real terrorists are this administration who want us to be fearful. Isn't it interesting? We went from a president who said we have nothing to fear but fear itself to one who is doing everything he can to make us fearful.
Every day in the news, we hear how we should be fearful. That's how he's
because it gets our minds off of what we should fear, like charging up everything possible on
like
credit
debt,
cards.
Right, exactly.
Living in debt, driving cars that cannot be maintained with fossil fuels.
The environment.
Yes, those are the things we should fear. Anxiety-ridden children forced to take these competitive AP courses, even though it's not okay to be average. Those are the things we should fear. But what the Bush crew, and this is really where Karl Rove is very effective. His Bible is Machiavelli's The Prince. Convince the masses that there's, you know, what they should be fearing from inside, there's an enemy outside. And so, and Jung addresses the two in talking about Mussolini and Hitler. The effective propagandists can make the masses believe there's an enemy outside. And so you put it outside, then you stomp on it. You know, like George Bush's enemy is his father, for example. And so you project that outside, and then you keep beating on it. And so it allows us to avoid dealing with what we should fear. And so that's been the story of the past 5 years, I'm afraid.
Okay, let's give a chance for some people to respond. And we haven't heard from Ramble Redhead. Ramble, what do you want to say? Anything?
Yeah, Redhead, ramble.
Well, I don't know. I agree with all of what you said. I just think it's important that we try to do what we can to to move forward and be able to remember those who died, and also to stand up for what we believe in and not sit on our hands and let it continue to be manipulated by Bush and all the other people. I just think it's wrong that I think we need to get more people to be more vocal about it, but we also need more people to do something about it. And I think that, as a gay community, sometimes we hinder ourselves. For example, I just want to tell you something related today. Is that tonight I went to this church meeting, and we were talking about all the things they want to do to try to make things better for the church. But the funny thing is that a big majority of the people don't even want to let people know that it's a gay-friendly church.
Yeah,
they're afraid to, they're hiding in the closet, and they don't want to speak up. So how do you think they're going to do when it comes to gay marriage and gay rights and gay benefits and things like that? And I think that we need to stop sitting on our asses and do something about it.
Yeah.
So
what church do you belong to?
Are you, if you're afraid to say that you're gay friendly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What church do you belong to? Ramble.
It's Christian. It's called South Side Christian Church.
Okay.
And it's an awesome church, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm just saying, there's so many people there that don't even want to admit that they're gay because of their what they do for a living.
Right.
Or they're afraid to come. It's just amazing, and I was just sitting there shaking my head, and I said, well, how do you expect our benefits as gay people going to get better if you can't even say the word?
Right.
Very good. I want to thank you for your comments. What about Travis? Travis has been pretty quiet. Travis, do you have anything to say?
I don't go to church, so I don't really have anything to comment about that.
Well, but not on the church thing necessarily, but...
About what to be fearful of?
Anything.
I'm not personally not that scared. I mean,
okay,
I was scared during 9/11, but right now I was just thinking, my gosh, I'm much luckier than a lot of people just because I don't have a lot of debt and I don't have a lot of these problems that a lot of Americans are having.
Okay, well,
I'm out at work, so I don't know. My issues are different than a lot of other people's.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Great.
How big is your dick?
Oh. you're...
That last time I didn't answer. I said you'd have to find that out for yourself.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, send pictures, send pictures. Absolutely.
I just want to throw a little laughter in there. Mike Kipp, did you want to add anything?
We covered politics and religion and 9/11. I think we're pretty much covered.
And dick sizes.
So let's change the topic.
We still don't know who's the top and the bottom in Michael's relationship.
No, we don't. Do we know how I feel about 9/11?
Okay, then Michael from Connecticut, tell us how you feel about 9/11.
I don't actually know.
He's just one cold
fish. I think it's the bottom.
Well, no. Keep in mind, you're talking to the boy in the plastic bubble. I think we covered this already.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But I will say that, I'm sitting here thinking of the conversation, and, once Travis had spoken up about know, how he's approaching it. I have to say, I'm pretty much on track with Travis. You know, I don't have the same concerns, the same fears.
Amen.
And 9/11 is not something I think about every day. Mm-hmm, you know, for me to say, it's horrible for me to say, but
no, it's not, you know, horrible for you to say.
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, it means that
you're not letting fear grip you.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
But here's my other comment on that, and that's those of us who live in major urban areas, Houston, New York, Washington, Chicago, I don't really think about 9/11 every day.
I don't either.
And I don't fear. I mean, I live in a major urban city. I could get shot tomorrow. I mean, I could get killed in a car accident. I mean, there are many things living in a large urban area. You interact with so many different elements. I think, you know, certainly we were all very disturbed by 9/11. But it's interesting, I think, when you talk about soccer moms, people living in the exurbs, they're the ones more likely to be wrapped up in this fear thing. They live in the exurbs because they fear. You know, they fear their kids mingling with brown kids, or they fear their kids going to public schools, or they whatever they fear. It's not, so they're the ones more likely to be wrapped up. You know, folks living in the rural areas who don't want to give up their guns, well, they're more likely to be riveted by 9/11 fears.
I was actually at Ground Zero today. I was passing mm-hmm. through there on my way, and it's amazing. Those same people you're talking about are the ones who come to Ground Zero as it's a weird, bizarre thing. They come to it on the one hand as if it's a tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This great, fun, like, place. And they also are like, they have this heavy weight about them. And they're shocked and almost disgusted that we New Yorkers are going about our business.
Right,
and that we're not,
by.
Like, stopping and bowing yeah. our heads and falling down and crying and all this stuff. And it's like, we've been there. We've done that.
Right,
we, you exactly.
know, I was there when it was a pile of rubble. I don't need to go look in the hole. And when I come, and when I pass by there, I always think about it, and I always remember, and I remember people that I knew, but I don't sit there and cry and take pictures every time I pass by there. I'm on my way somewhere.
Right.
You know? So are you on your way to Century 21?
Sorry?
Are you on your way to Century 21?
Yeah, I wish. Yeah, no, I was interviewing someone for my podcast, but, oh, God, I need to go in there and buy some clothes.
Okay, now, okay, stop. Big Fatty, being in Charleston, is everyone fearful down in Charleston?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's a matter of being fearful. And getting back to these TV programs that we were talking about, I think most people aren't going to watch them. I don't think it's going to have the effect that everybody's worried about, because mainstream America is going to be watching Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football.
That's true.
Can I ask your question?
I mean,
someone wants to ask a question. Go ahead.
Can I ask a question of the person? Do you think that the workers are being punished for being Democrats when the Department of Burning Money then?
Okay, you're a bit Skypey. Can you speak up?
Oh, I'm sorry. The question is for the person in New York. Do you think New York is being punished because it's heavily Democratic, because it receives less
permits? No, I don't think that. But what I do think is that, like everything that's pork, I mean, essentially this is a big, giant, big old ham, you know, to use some fatty cheek. It's a big ass ham, and everyone wants a piece. And the senators and the congressmen out in these rural districts that really, honestly, don't have much of a threat to them want their piece, and they want to get it. And so that whole, it's politics. So I don't think that it's a punishment of New Yorkers. I just think that it's an unrealistic assessment, and these guys, they all want their piece of pork. You know, and we've seen examples where people get their 9/11 money, and they're out in Missouri, or they're out in like far rural Missouri, or they're out in the boonies in Montana, and they've got this state of the art computer generated something or other fire truck thing that does all these amazing things, and the NYPD and the FDNY still don't have a walkie talkie system where they can communicate with each other. And I think it's just stupidity. I mean, I wish it were political, because then we could expose it. But it's not. It's just utter stupidity and pork, and the old story of pork. You know, we created this giant machine
this huge TSA, and we created this Homeland Security Agency to do what we couldn't already do. We already had the rules. They just weren't being fucking enforced. You know?
Okay.
So I don't think that it's about that. Sorry, I got it.
That's okay. But I think we need to hear from Mike Hipp from Atlanta. What's the Atlanta perspective, Mike?
I think that when 9/11 happened, I think that most of Atlanta was pretty scared because the CDC is here. But we've pretty much gone back to normal as far as that's concerned. And I seriously have doubts about 70-something percent of people thinking about 9/11 every day. I just don't think, I mean, maybe the consequences of it, but not certainly not the event. Because
well, when someone asks you that as a poll question, that of course you're going to answer yes.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. You know how polls are anyway. You can say make a poll sound like anything you want it to say.
Yeah.
Especially if you only ask 100 people.
Well, but how do you think about it? Or why do you think? I mean, those questions are never asked. It's just, do you think about it? Well, most people would say yes.
Well, I have to say that I go back to what Michael from Connecticut said, that basically I'm believing the same thing. Well, I feel the same way he does, that my life is just not, you know, daily focus on 9/11. I've got so many other things going on in my life that that's like the last thing I'm thinking about, actually.
Exactly.
And if you watch the news any night, you're gonna have it thrown at you.
That's
oh,
true.
Should we live in fear? The Taliban, well, are they going to overthrow American government? I mean, it's just nonsense. But you know, you look, even here in D.C., where it's fairly conservative, you still see that random car with five flags. You know, with the five flags that you can attach to your windows. By now, they're all tattered and torn, with all of the ribbons magnetized around the car. Then you see the Bush Cheney stickers, and you just feel sorry for them because they live for this. They haven't, and they can't get over it because again, they've drank the Kool-Aid. And they've bought into the gospel of this truth, and to admit that it's you know there are a lot of fallacies with it. They can't do it.
Okay,
and they're addicted to the victimhood. They're
absolutely. Yeah,
that too. Now, people, I love you dearly, but we're gonna have to wrap this up because this has been going a lot longer than I was expecting. So here's what we're gonna. That's fine. You go right ahead, Big Fatty. Listen, this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna say each person's name, and I want you to plug the hell out of whatever you want to plug the hell out of, and then we'll move to the next person, okay? So let's start with...
That's hot.
Yeah, plug me,
plug
baby.
Plug it.
Let's start with Remarkable Palette.
You know who I am.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Fine, we'll skip next. You. Then we'll move on to Big Fatty.
Well, I'd like to plug... Chef Mark.
get in line, baby.
Right.
I think we all would.
Well, right. And, no, I used to be on a podcast. I don't think it's, you know, going on anymore because some fat thing went out to San Francisco. But it's at littlefatty.com.
Did he move out there?
No.
Okay.
He's back.
Okay.
No. He's just too fat to record.
Well, he better get back to it next week. Okay, thank you, Big Fatty. So let's move on to Mike Hipp.
No, thank you.
Check out podcastsoup.net for all the latest news on your favorite podcast and soycandlesbythieves.com.
Great. Now, how about Michael from QCast Connecticut?
QCast Connecticut, which is qcast.blogspot.com. And if anyone is in Provincetown the week of the 23rd of September, come see the Connecticut Gay Men's Chorus perform there.
Cool.
Oh, great.
Mike Baring out in Seattle, do you have anything to plug?
I wish.
I think Mark's available.
I just had a knee surgery today, so I'm up at home. Well, unlaid up at home, I should say. I would just, I'm totally new to this, and I hope that there's some kind of way that you can add me to a list to notify me of your...
Oh, the NSA has you on a list already, honey.
Mike Baring from Seattle. I want you to bookmark archerradio.com because I always announce, you know, on the show when we're going to have the next Skype cast, so...
ArcherRadio.com.
Yes.
Okay, I will bookmark that. And just want to say you're a very enlightened group of people, and I very much enjoyed this, and I look forward to participating again.
Great,
great. And thank you.
Thanks.
All shallow and stupid on the West Coast.
But we're shallow on the East Coast, too, don't worry.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay, now, Travis in Houston, what do you have to say?
I'd like to plug Archer Not Burping.
Yay!
Doing his podcast. Let's see, what else? Oh, Dallas Pride is next weekend, and if anyone of you guys want to come to Texas for a Pride event, you guys can probably look up, let's see, this boy Elroy Adam, he's probably going to be up there. I've never met him or talked with him, but...
Oh, he's great.
Come Pride event.
Great guy.
Woo-hoo. Nice guy.
You know, Connecticut's Pride event is tomorrow, too, and I'm like, why is this in September? So I'm glad to know that there's some other, you know, city that's not doing in June.
Because it's too fucking hot in June.
They wanted to wait for the leaves to start turning.
Okay.
Well, we have it at night. Okay. We have our parade at night because it's so friggin' hot.
Very good.
We're not even having a parade.
And now, Ramble Redhead.
Hey, my show is Ramble Redhead. You can find it at rambleredhead.com, and I do a lot of great interviews, which... including Mr. Archer and Mark and hopefully Michael and Mike Hip.
Right.
Maybe even Mr. Big Fatty. So it's great interviews with a lot of great people, and it's
you're going to have to give him a ham sandwich to show up on the...
Send him a ham. Okay.
I'll send you a big ham.
And that's...
but it's been a lot of fun, a lot of great people, so including Mr. Archer and all them. So,
Ramble Redhead, what's your website?
RambleRedhead.com.
Okay. And we have a lurker, Taya Gagabib, one.
Gagabib.
Who are you? Do you want to say anything?
Hello.
I guess not.
Well, I would like to say something here.
Okay, go ahead.
People from New York, people from and in North America, and talk from Brazil, and we are very afraid. I mean, we've got some problems down here as well.
Yeah.
I would like to know, and what is this? All of this trouble, all of this. Let's say that's a hustle, such a hustle. And what do you do for this? What does this interfere in your life? I mean, in your day, after day. What do you do? What do you think? I want to know what's happening. Just up here in North America, people. How are you guys? Are you okay?
We're sick of Bush.
Yeah, really.
Well, I think the best thing you can do is just live your life. I mean, you go on with your life and.
Yeah, but at the same time, you just that thing came in your head and just fucking hell, that motherfuckers. They have nothing to do. They came to my country and they fucking blow up everything. What do you think they're doing? So,
well, but again, we had a national leader who had at least a month's notice that they were planning to strike America, and he was on vacation at his ranch clearing brush and reading stories about pet goats to 7-year-olds. So, yes, it was a tragedy. But we certainly had leadership who should have known better, and for whatever reasons they decided not to take those memorandums seriously, and so we suffered the consequences.
And as educated Democrats, we have learned to move on and not listen to the fear-mongering of the Bush administration.
Well, and also, together, we've been there. We've been in the angry spot. That was 5 years ago. It's time to let go of that and move on.
Right. Yeah, okay, people, speaking of moving on, thank you all for joining the...
Wait, I didn't get my plug.
Okay, what's your plug, honey?
I want to see Remarkable Mark cook a meal for me completely nude in the kitchen.
Me too. And Archer can take photos.
Oh, I will be taking pictures.
It's going to talk to you.
No,
lots of
chat.
Vegetables. You can cook lots of vegetables.
All right, people.
Pitch in. How much would it cost?
Archer.
Now, as long as they cooked a ham, Big Fatty would come.
Yeah.
Only if he cooked it with a pair of chaps on.
And I bet he would, too.
Mm-hmm. Let's all do Archer's theme song at the same time.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Archer Radio.
All right, thank you. Thank you all so much for joining the Skype cast. And we'll do one again soon.
All right.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Archer. Archer, one last question. That's archerradio.com.
Yes, ArcherRadio.com.
Okay, I'll look for your schedule.
Great, thank you. Bye-bye.
Archer Radio.